This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. The most famous images of the American Civil War may be the daguerreotypes of sullen, surly soldiers from the North and South, and those horrific images of battlefields littered with bodies of the dead and wounded. Images like these tend to bring history to life. A new graphic novel by New Hampshire illustrator Marek Bennett offers images that attempt to bring the Civil War to life in a new way. His illustrations, hundreds of them, are inspired by the diary of a New Hampshire teacher named Freeman Colby, who joined the Union Army when he was in his early 20s. The book features hundreds of images to accompany the story told more than 100 years ago, and it's called The Civil War Diary of Freeman Colby, and Marek Bennett joins me now to talk about it. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
So tell us, who was Freeman Colby, and how did you find his diary?
Well, Freeman Colby was a guy from Henniker, New Hampshire. He was born in the 1840s, came of age in the 1850s and 60s, and I'd always seen his name on a street around town. There's Freeman Colby Road way up on the other side of town from where I live, and that's all I knew about him. He had a street named after him. And then in the Historical Society in Henniker one day, I was looking through some boxes of Civil War materials, and this packet of pages fell out, and it said Civil War Diary of Freeman Colby, and I just casually started flipping through it, and that's how I found his story.
Why were you searching in that place in the first place?
Well, I'm a cartoonist, and I'm always looking for good stories. And I had, this was a few years ago, I had just gotten back from Eastern Europe, and I was drawing a graphic novel about local history there. Actually, I came and visited NHPR to talk about it afterwards. So that got me interested in local history from around New Hampshire. And I realized, boy, I've walked by the Civil War Memorial in my town. I'm interested in the Civil War, but I have no idea what the stories are behind all these names on the Civil War Memorial. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a different paper might have fallen out of the box on a different day, and I would have gone in a different direction. But somehow I found Freeman Colby's, and I couldn't put it down once I started looking into it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that struck me about the story is how good, how natural a storyteller he is. I mean, he uses such precise detail. He's got a sense of drama, and he knows how to very quickly paint a vivid picture of the people in his life. I imagine that struck you as well.
Yeah, he got me from the first paragraph, the first two paragraphs where he sets up his who he is and why he's involved in the Civil War. The other thing going on here, it's technically not really a diary, because if you look at the clues in the text and you look at some details of his life, I came to the conclusion he must have written it about 40 years after the Civil War. So there's a good deal of composition going on. Clearly, he had some reference to the letters he wrote. He wrote letters every day of the Civil War, send them home to Henniker, New Hampshire, and many of those still exist. He must have been referring to those to get the details, because mm-hmm. the details are day-to-day, really specific details about weather and events that happened. But then because he's doing it many years later, he's able to go back and really as an author, as a very eloquent author, put it into some form. I think what I'm eternally grateful to Freeman Colby for not doing here is really flowering it up the way a lot of late 19th century accounts would. He really tells it in very spare language.
Yeah, he's very direct. And he also spares us details of Civil War battles. It doesn't seem like he was a part of that, but he does talk a lot about life with other soldiers and life under the command of flawed human beings. And I think that was one of the most fascinating parts for me, seeing what the sort of interdepartmental strife was.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There are so many levels of strife and contention going on in a war, and you've got the other side. And in the case of this book, like you say, there aren't a lot of battle details. The battles are all sort of over the horizon, because this is really just the first 9 months of his service. And then he did serve for another 3 years, actually, and he was in some major battles and really did see combat. But this covers his introduction to his military service. But even from the beginning, when he describes, he was a teacher in Henniker, and he describes working in these single room classrooms. And he has a line in there. So he was a substitute teacher in Henniker, New Hampshire, and he describes working in these single room classrooms and schoolhouses all around town, because there were a dozen or more of them. And he said,
Several times, I had finished the terms of teachers who had left their schoolrooms by the windows.
Mm-hmm. I remember that line.
Because of the fighting going on in these classrooms. And he really does say at the very beginning of the book, I was fighting with my students every term. The students expected to open up the term with a set-to between the master and the scholars. And he had to constantly prove himself. So he was looking for something that promised better returns. And he leaves the teaching business and ends up enlisting in the 39th Massachusetts Volunteers, which as a teacher, that really spoke to me. That told me something really amazing about the school system back then and also who he is as a character. He will not back down at all. And then he finds himself in a Massachusetts regiment. And to him, these Massachusetts guys might as well be Southerners because he's going to prove he's a Granite Stater. He's going to prove he's a New Hampshire man. And he's going to get fair treatment no matter what. And that really sets the tone for the rest of his account of life in this Massachusetts regiment.
Mm-hmm. So how many images did you have to draw to get to the, how many hundred of images are in this book?
Gosh, I don't even think of it that way as a cartoonist. As many as it takes, to paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, right? I think the way I went at it, I sort of tricked myself into doing the book. I started on page one and I said, oh, this is a great account of life in a one-room schoolhouse in 1860. And then I said, oh, this is actually a pretty neat account of enlisting in a regiment and what it's like, what the tests are and what you get and what you have to do. And this is a pretty great account of traveling through New England down to Washington, D.C. And at each step, I was sort of thinking, and then I'm going to set this down and I'm not going to do the diary itself is a typewritten transcript, the one I worked with. It's 30 some pages. I'm not going to do every detail he writes about because who wants to know that? But then each step will get me interested in the next. And that's really the job of the cartoonist as you're drawing one picture to get the reader interested in the next. Whether it's like, oh, as he's walking, the bayonet of his rifle points into the next panel. So your eye just kind of slips into the next panel. And you get to the edge of the page and it says, little did we know, dot, dot, dot. And you just have to go to the next page. And I found he was kind of doing that to me with the story I felt like I was going through the story with him. As we moved through the story, if I just kept breaking up his ideas into cells, into panels, and quickly, I had to move pretty quickly. Otherwise, this would have taken years and years. It took a couple years as it was. And if I quickly drew what he was describing or hinting at or what I thought it maybe meant, that would get me interested in what happened next. And before I knew it, I was just sitting down with the whole transcript, working through every page saying, no, I'm not going to edit this down. I'm going to use exactly his text. And that's what the book ended up being.
So what idea in the text of Freeman Colby's Civil War diary retrospective was the most difficult to create an image for?
The hardest scenes were the ones where I would get a sense of it, I would start drawing it, and then I'd get so interested, I realized I really needed to do a little research and figure out specifically what's going on in these pictures. When you read a sentence, you think you're creating a picture in your mind, but often you're not really. You're sort of creating a very blurry sense of what's going on. When you sit down with black ink on white paper to draw a picture of what's going on, you suddenly realize, oh, wait, where were they? What did their uniform look like? What was piled behind them? How close were they standing? You have to decide all this stuff. And the only way I found to really get traction on some of these scenes was to go back into the Library of Congress archives, pull up images, photos, other artists' drawings from the time period. You ask about one that was difficult to draw. I think one of the biggest difficulties working with historical material as a cartoonist is cartooning is not lifelike, realistic drawing. I have no idea what Freeman Colby looks like. I never found a picture of him. Hmm. And I didn't look very hard because in a way, it doesn't matter what he looks like. I drew him as a circle with two dots and a line, you know, and that's his face. And if he had a big nose or a mustache or three eyes or something, you know, that in a way would make him less readable to the reader. But then when he describes a camp scene and I draw that camp scene, in a way I'm simplifying by my own historical understanding. So an example, and I have to be very careful of that. An example of that is page 254. He says, two or three days later, there came a perfect deluge of boxes for the boys. Nearly every one of them had one.
So they're getting this big wagon load of boxes on the holidays from home. It's all their holiday gifts, and they're so excited to get them. And I drew all these little stick figure soldiers running out to get a wagon, and I thought, great, they're all Massachusetts guys. They all have the little square heads that mean they're from Massachusetts. I can draw a little round Freeman Colby in there, round-headed New Hampshire guy, and that's my cartooning shorthand. Then, and I included a lot of these reference images in the back of the book, then I looked up an illustration by Charles Reed in Hardtack and Coffee, the Billings account of life in a Union regiment. And I looked closely at that image, and it's in the back of the book here in the index. And the guy driving the wagon is African-American.
Hmm.
And some of the soldiers appear to be African-American. It's a line drawing, and they're really tiny, but it's hard to see. And that made me question everything I had assumed about this Massachusetts camp, just because there are people there that maybe Freeman Colby didn't mention. And if I just go along with my baseline understanding of what the history was, I might be leaving those people out. And little things like that made me realize, even when it's easy to draw a scene, I really need to be careful as an artist and get a contextual understanding and read a bunch of other accounts and try to figure out what Freeman Colby's leaving out. Because there's tons I'm leaving out, and you have to. I can't draw everything. As a cartoonist, I have to leave stuff out. But I need to make sure I get the important stuff in there that does represent what was going on, and include some things that Freeman Colby maybe didn't think were important, but I now do feel are important to the narrative of the Civil War.
And your interest in the Civil War extends beyond this book. You are actually in a band that features music from that era.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that band.
We formed a few years ago thinking, well, we'll play songs from the North and songs from the South and, you know, look at the Civil War from both sides. And the more we look into the music, and this is true with all artwork, but the more we look into the music, the more we realize, wow, this is a complex grouping of perspectives and beliefs and politics. And the music really represents that. Any given song brings that out and looks and sends you in all these different directions. The moment you learn one song, you realize music is an accumulation of an encounter between cultures. The rhythm, the melody, the words, the meaning of those words, and the people performing them, it all is encounters between cultures. So like the banjo, for instance, I play the banjo in this band, and the banjo is an Afro-Caribbean instrument. And the music that's played on it was being played by African-Americans. It was being played by Irish-Americans who were learning from those African-Americans, lots of immigrant groups. There were some Native New Hampshireites playing the banjo. Freeman Colby wasn't a musician, so he doesn't really mention music at all in his account. But I know that that music was there. And I know that that music really represented what people did when they came together from different backgrounds. So beyond just North and South, it's also you had the spirituals, you had all the work songs, you had the commercial songs that were being circulated on song sheets and sheet music among the soldiers and back and forth to home. And that just gives us a much broader understanding of what people were saying and what it sounded like, as well as what it looked like and how it was paced by the pacing of the music. So if I just looked at photographs of the Civil War, you know, I'd get a sense that it was this black and white still thing that happened long ago. But when I hear the music, it's something that's in the room right now.
Well, Merrick Bennett, thank you very much for coming in and speaking about your book.
Oh, thank you.
And you've brought your banjo. Would you like to play us out with a song?
Sure. I'll play a little. This is Johnny Boker, which is an old 1840s tune, but was still very current in the Civil War. And a little bit of circus jig added into it.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Let's hear it. That's Merrick Bennett on the banjo, and he's the author of the new book, The Civil War Diary of Freeman Colby, which illustrates the real-life account of a Civil War soldier from New Hampshire. And you can find a list of the top five books on Merrick's bookshelf at nhpr.org. We are always looking for your reading recommendations. Send them our way. Our email address is books@nhpr.org. You can also send us a tweet at @nhprbookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.